You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Clip-clop goes the trail, sun is rising high. Two gals in the saddle, neath the big Nevada sky. Laughing and chatting as the desert rolls on by. It's saddle talk, come along for the ride.
Welcome, listeners, to Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara. Whether you're here to laugh with us, learn, or just ride along, you're in for a really good time. So go grab your helmet or your pooper scooper and settle in with us as we discuss life, horses, of course, and all the unexpected turns along the trail. And hey, whether you're a seasoned cowgirl or you're still learning, remember, we're sharing our own stories and opinions based on decades of personal experience. Always ride safe and check with a professional before trying anything new. Now let's go ride. Many of you have heard of Matt Mills. And if you haven't, he is the winner of the 2006 USIF Reining Championship, where he earned a career-high score of 231.5. I would have no idea what a crazy number that is, except that I've been binging Taylor Sheridan's show, The Last Cowboy, on Amazon Prime, and you all need to get addicted. It is an amazing show that highlights the Run for the Million, which is Reining's richest purse. So, of course, partway into the show, I realize I need to call Sandy because I need to get her addicted too. And she calls me back when she's into the second episode and says, oh my gosh, I know Matt Mills. We used to ride at the same barn in Long Beach, California. So we both start freaking out. We reach out to Matt and Matt agrees to an interview because, you know, we're all from the LB and anyone from Long Beach supports each other. So you're all in for a really awesome treat as we caught up with Matt on a freezing day at his new barn in Weatherford, Texas, where we chatted about all things horses and all things life. Here's our conversation with Matt. Enjoy.
So we want to thank you for giving us your time and doing this for us. We're new at podcasting and we're just trying to find the people that we admire to talk to and put that out there for our audience, our small little audience, which we hope we'll be building. We're going to be connecting with the Horse Radio Network soon. So hopefully our audience will grow.
Yeah. So awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Matt. My pleasure.
Does your mom still live in Long Beach?
She sure does.
I miss it, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Of course. So one of the questions that we came up with, I'm wondering how your training philosophy has changed. Like when you think about the span of your career, how has your philosophy changed? And we were wondering if there's an experience that you had that you couldn't have learned any other way.
Oh, that's a great question. So, I mean, it's always evolving. I mean, I don't think really my philosophy's changed. It's always, you know, of course, pressure release. It's always the fastest route to have the horse hopefully figure it out what it is you're trying to get him to do. Mm-hmm. And I think through experience, through making a lot of mistakes, you start to notice things that work better than others. And really, ultimately, it just comes down to me. If I always keep the horse first, and I always remind myself, this horse does not really know what it is. Like, they really don't care about doing whatever job it is I'm asking them to do. They want to eat, drink, and they want you to leave them alone.
Yeah.
And if I try to keep things very simple and I try to base whatever it is I'm asking them off of that, it seems like I get further ahead. And I've just learned patience. I thought I had a lot of patience before, but even every year I'm just getting more and more patient because you know, you do it long enough, you start to see horses that made it, that you were patient on, and you know, you start to see how there's so many different ways to get to where you need to go. And you know, with what I do with competing, there's always deadlines set, which kind of makes things a little tough because it's not like some of my buddies like Clinton Anderson and some of these other guys that don't really have a deadline per se.
Right.
So you could be training forever. Well, with what I do, it's what, you know, for a living, I've got to have a horse ready by such and such date when they're 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. And you can get caught up with trying to force a horse to be ready by a certain period of time. And it just doesn't work. It's what I've learned. And you have to do things as the horse allows you to do it. And You know, it's got kind of like the tortoise and the hare. If you do that, you do it right from the beginning. The ones that have the aptitude and the talent to get to where you want to go, they always rise to the top.
So true. Well, in that vein, what do you look for in a young horse that tells you that this one could be special? Are there any signs or
That you personally look for?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I like to look at their overall build. An athletic built horse, you know, have a level top line, meaning that when they're at rest, their top line is very level from their ears to their tail, is in a perfect world. I've seen that get disproved many times. But beyond that, the physical side, you want a horse that is that's willing to learn. Doesn't even necessarily, like I've seen like the ones that I've started that just comply. Everything you say is okay and they do it. I found those horses don't have the grit that I need to compete at a high level. Now, if we're talking like just for an average rider, then they're probably good. But I like the ones that they maybe don't necessarily agree with what you're asking them to do in the beginning. They put a lot of passion, a lot of effort into things.
Yeah.
And that you can channel and mold if you're patient enough to get them to, you know, to see what it is you're trying to get them to do. And those horses that are, again, they don't have to just be yes, 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 but those horses that are really, you know, we could say good mind is such a broad statement, but those horses that, you know, they're sensitive, they're feeling, and they put a lot of effort into things. Those horses, for me personally, have been the ones that I've done the best on.
Do you think that Blue Thunder, it can be one of those horses? I've watched him on your Facebook page and been following him. He seems really special.
Oh yeah. He's a great example. I mean, he's Blue. Old Blue has got, you know, I mean, just, you know, the fact that he's still here is incredible, but he of course, you know, given his owner, as you know, it's little Savannah and given that he was hurt, very spoiled rotten. But he's got all this ability, but he's got all this character and personality. And he's been one that he's done really well. But he also has felt like a horse that if I try to take away some of the things that, you know, make him who he is, I feel like it would hurt him long term. Like he would be a little resentful and stuff. I'm constantly kind of juggle that. I know, of course, a horse has to, with reining, they've got to do what you say right here, right now. But for me, I'm a big one on how they do it. You know, I mean, are they what's their expression like? If they're not happy about their job, they don't last a long time. And him in particular, obviously, I've got a particular owner that I feel the pressure of making sure that he's going to be nice at the end, that he'll be a good horse for a long time. And so, yeah, he's a great example. He's one early on as a 2 and 3 year old. There were certain things that he was just a jerk about it. I mean, just didn't want any part of it. And I could tell, like, I know you can do this. You've done it before. And now you're being a brat. And you just don't want to do it. He's funny, though. Every time I've gone in to compete on him, though, not every run has yielded the score that I'd want. That doesn't 100% determine for me how I feel about a run, because it's so subjective. You've got judges that are deciding if they thought you did well or not. And I've seen that both sides, runs that I thought weren't good, that they were scored high, and the other way around. But what I'm getting back with Blue is every time I've gone, I felt like he's given me everything he's had.
Aww.
Yeah. Good boy. Yeah. How do you manage that pressure, like, for yourself when you said you felt all of that pressure? How do you manage it when you're out there, and how do you help your horses manage it?
That's a great question. I mean, that's where, you know, experience comes into play. And, you know, when you've done something long enough, you put the work in, you kind of, you know, that's going to, you know, set your mind at rest. But, and then also just the realization that it is what it is. It's a horse. You know, I can't take myself too serious. I get paid to ride horses every day. I mean, I could be doing a lot of other things. So that helps. Yeah, that helps. But, you know, when you're super competitive, you start figuring out, you know, I mean, it's a moving target. You know, every year I'm trying to improve and trying to find better ways of doing things, better ways to get things across to my horse. But I've always thrived on, you know, pressure. I mean, I'm better if you give me a deadline or you tell me, hey, I don't think you can get this done, that's the kind of thing that gets me up in the morning.
Okay, that actually motivates you. I completely understand mm-hmm. that from a professional side. It sounds so silly. I've never thought of it being a horse trainer as a competitor. So weird.
Yeah.
I love a good deadline.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you could go back in time, what piece of advice would you give yourself?
Yourself,
like, because you're describing just like this journey. So would you give yourself a piece of advice to, hey, younger Matt, buddy?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm guilty of being an optimist to a fault. And what I would tell my younger self is it's okay. You don't have to try to save every single one of these horses. And when I mean save, I'm obviously not life or death, but I mean, as far as being a competitive reining horse or show horse, there's been many, many horses where I've continued for a lot longer than I should, mainly because I'm so pro the horse that I'm like, he's going to get it. I can change something. I can figure something out and he'll turn the corner. And I've had it work many times, but with what I do, it's so competitive. The riders are so good. The horses are so good. You know, I like to compare it to like racing, you know, like let's say Formula One, which I'm a fan of. It doesn't matter how good a driver I'm in. At a certain level, we're all great drivers. And if this car just doesn't go as fast as the other ones, it's not going to get it done. So that'd be my advice to my younger self, is to make that call sooner. Not saying, you know, that these horses will go on and do other things and maybe other disciplines. Not like you're just discarding them and they're no good. But making the call that, hey, you know what, this is maybe not a Division I athlete, go ahead and let him go do something else and find a different horse. Because I've spent a lot of time chasing that, when deep down in my gut I know you. And that's one thing that I would tell my, if the horse has it or they don't have it, even if it's tough or something's not right or they're messed up or they're hurt or whatever, you tend to know. This horse has what it takes. And yeah. So I would tell my younger self to trust that and make the call sooner.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, before we ask another horse question, I need to know, who's your favorite racer? Because I am an F1 fan as well.
Well, so I have two. So, I mean, I'm kind of torn. Lewis Hamilton's my guy.
I mean, it's hard not to be, right? Okay.
He's the guy. I'd love something about Max Verstappen, though.
Okay.
I mean,
We can be friends.
Yeah, there you go. My son and I went to the race in Austin. We follow it close, but that Max is just, you put him in anything and he's going to figure out how to, I mean, he damn near won the whole thing. I put money on it that he was going to catch up.
I did too. We were screaming at my house.
Oh, and he did everything he could.
Yep.
Didn't have the horse. He didn't have the horse.
Exactly. And he still almost did it. No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. He didn't at the beginning and it worked out almost at the end.
And Lewis doesn't have the horse either. Now it's just, is he past his prime or we don't know.
We don't know. He's going to do it another year. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Back to horses. What struggles have you faced just coming up in the industry in general?
Oh, man. It changes every day. Okay. You know, there's so many. I mean, you have the horses, of course, you know, I mean, that's always a struggle of trying to get through the horses and that really, I wouldn't say that's a struggle. That's the part that I really enjoy, is that chase. But a lot of times it's the owners, you know, cause you're dealing with people that, you know, they're maybe not on the same page as you, and they've got a different feeling about the horse, and, you know, maybe it's like their kids, you know, they're more so like the kids to me. Then that's what I try to tell those owners, like, these horses, you might own them, but they're more mine than yours. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to see them succeed more than I do. But when you get money involved, it changes things. And so that could be a challenge at times, get on the same page with the owners of the horses. You know, like I said earlier, it could be frustrating at times when you have it, you know, judges don't score you the way that you think they should be scored, or how you should be scored. And it can affect you. It affects your business long term.
Oh, wow. You're just opening my eyes.
Yeah.
What's one mistake that you see riders make or you've made over and over when you're trying to advance a horse, even if they have the best of intentions? Have you noticed a mistake that you witnessed that? Mm. Or they just
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's usually just not being realistic with yourself on what the horse's ceiling is, what its capabilities is. And, you know, asking for a horse to go 100 miles an hour that can only go 80. And you know it can only go 80 through practice. And I tell you what, I think a lot of it's ignorance from what I see. And I'm not talking about myself personally, but I think a lot of people that don't realize that you're literally asking this horse to do something or go a speed that it just physically can't go. And they miss the signs. That's what I see a lot in horsemanship nowadays, or I see a lack of horsemanship. And some of it's probably there's money involved and now so much money, but I think there's a real void in the basics and reading horses. And so, I mean, I see a lot of high level professionals where I'm watching, I'm like, can't you see that horse is telling you they either don't like what you're doing at all, they're scared about it, they're mad about it, and they just keep pushing forward the exact same way and then wonder why it doesn't work. So, and I think with the money that's involved now, like within reining in particular, you see a lot of people that kind of go from not doing much of anything in horses to next thing you know, they're assistant trainer and now they're a trainer.
Yeah.
And I think they miss that. I see a lot of that, you know, that compassion to respect for the horse. I see Matt maybe not as prevalent in some riders as others.
Yeah. Who are your mentors and influencers in the horse training world? Obviously, Michelle Bloomquist, I understand. I actually took a clinic with her at Lakewood Equestrian. I have a Missouri Fox Trotter, and she kept trying to get me to go into a circle in a trot. And to what you just said, my horse can't really do that. She doesn't really trot in tight circles, but she came back. She's a really nice lady. Other than... Who else would be your mentors?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Michelle's like a drill sergeant for me. I mean, she was so instrumental. I mean, I spent 10 years. I mean, I started there. So, I mean, the foundation that I got from her, and she was not always nice. I could sense that she was not nice, but I appreciate that because she kept pushing the limits. And she was big on horsemanship. You know, obviously that was, you know, probably a prime of her career. She was huge on it, and she would just cram it down my throat. And then I got a chance to, you know, she was, you know, her husband was a pretty prominent racehorse trainer there at Los Alamitos. So I got a chance to be around him and how they take care of the horses and stuff. So I got a lot of things early on that you don't really realize you're absorbing that you are. But then from there, the trainer Del Hendricks that I apprenticed under for reining was very instrumental. I've spent almost 5 years with him. Very good horse trainer, very good in the reining, won a lot of things. Really a great, great horseman. And he taught me a lot of things. And then along the way, I got a chance to work with a gentleman named Sam Powell, that's a really accomplished colt starter, very, very good colt starter that came out and worked with me one-on-one. And just kind of, you know, looking at it from the very beginning and getting to a horse's mind and why they do what they do and whatnot. And so him, and then, you know, along the way, and, you know, when you're trying to, you know, I kind of liken it to like practicing law or practicing medicine. You're always trying to improve, trying to find a better way. So there's so many professionals, Randy Paul, Brett Stone. I mean, the list is endless. Steve Archer. There's so many people that, I've sought out information from, and, just trying to improve my skills, trying to get better. It's, you know, I think that's kind of the fun part about it too, is you're always,
so true. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I really enjoy your tips that you put on the Facebook page. I tried one of them just the other day with my horse, crossing the reins to help train with the neck training and with the rein, you know, what am I trying to say?
You cross the reins underneath.
Yeah. Anyway, It works very well. Thank you very much. When I was listening to you, I wasn't quite getting it. But then when I went out there and I did, I was like, oh, I see. So, and it worked really well. So those are very, very helpful. I'm sure a lot of your followers love to just watch all the tips that you provide for us. So thank you.
My pleasure. Yeah, I love to give back. I love to help people. You know, I know what it's like when you're trying to get information. And now today with ChatGPT and everything else, you can get a lot of stuff. But horse training, though, is a little different. And to get real stuff, you know, not just your text, you know, your stock answers. And then you're like, well, what happens when that doesn't work? So I really enjoy that. I'm thankful for the social media platform where I can reach so many people, because it's a time thing with what I do. I don't have a lot of time, but with this, you can reach so many. And then it helps me also because, you know, when the camera comes on and I have to talk and say what it is I'm doing and what I'm thinking, it keeps me sharp. Because then I got to go, wait a minute, do I really believe this? Do I really think this works? And I catch myself all the time. I'm like, you know, you got to listen to your own advice sometimes.
Yep. I hear you.
Oh, that's so funny. Because I feel like you're so intense at like listening to your journey. Like, I'm just going to be honest. I wasn't fully aware of who you were up until a couple years ago. And then I was watching your show. And then, well, I mean, the show, the Run for the Million.
Oh, the Last Cowboy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it was just like, that whole documentary series is so fun. So I didn't really know who you were. And then that came out and it just really, it was really inspiring, even though I'm not someone who enjoys raining.
She does dressage. Yeah. I'm your favorite here.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, dressage is good. You guys got a little easier path than us, but that's good too.
I might have to fight you on that.
I want you to put a full drape in your rein and then go do your pattern, go do your test and all that.
I could. I know a lot of people couldn't.
It's all hard. I got anything at a high level is all hard to do.
Yeah. You know, and that's what I was thinking when you were talking. And I just thought to myself, wow, he sounds like an artist. The way that an artist absorbs and processes and applies, that sounds like you along your journey. And is there anyone today that you still work with? Are you still taking lessons yourself? Are you still, you know, do you consult with professionals yourself?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I have a, you know, a swing coach per se, like golf.
Yeah.
Her name's Kim Horn. She's one of the greatest, our founders, because a guy named Bill Horn is like kind of the godfather of reining. He's passed now, but she was right there, and his eyes and ears and right hand man or woman, I guess she's somebody that comes out, you know, like every other month or so. And she comes to the competitions and she's kind of like my quality control. Mm-hmm. She's not really telling me what to do, but she mm-hmm. can kind of see, hey, you know, what about this? You know, well, this worked well on this horse. So she helps with the continuity of things and kind of will challenge me. Hey, I think this horse is, you know, I think you're approaching it wrong. And it forces me to think and change. But then also, I live here in Weatherford, Texas. Casey Deary is a good friend of mine, another professional. And you know, I'll call him, you know, we have, you know, about four or five professionals that we all get along. We all respect each other and we all trust that we're not trying to lead each other astray. Sometimes it's as simple as somebody watching or they jump on your horse for a second and they say, hey, maybe try this. And like I say, we're all competitors. When it's time to compete, we want to beat each other. But we also understand these horses are such a challenge. You know, if I happen to have a tool in my box that will work for a horse today, you know, he knows down the road, it might be the other way around. And so, you know, I really enjoy that part where we kind of get into the way, what's it take to have this horse be its best? And like I said, on competition day, you know, Run for Million, of course, I'm going to kick your ass. But we kind of compare notes, though, here and there.
Yeah, there's actually a term for that. I don't remember the term. I'm at a loss, but I know like even the Wright brothers did it, where they literally would talk and they would just go back and forth between each other. And it was almost like creating a higher level of engineer or a higher level of competitor just through talking with each other about the subject.
Exactly. And like what you said, and that's a, you know, great description as far as being an artist. That's really, if I had to paint myself as, you know, what put a label, that's really kind of where I feel like I'm at my best as far as like the coloring outside the lines, getting along with a horse that doesn't quite, nobody else gets along with, but I'm able to figure out something that maybe isn't traditional that works. I have to make sure that I am putting in the everyday, you know, the stuff that you have to do. I get more excited about the finishing part of it, trying to squeeze a little bit extra out of them. And what I've learned over the years is that, you know, you got to show up from 9 to 5 and you got to put this time in, even when it's not exciting. That's the foundation that you're putting on. So later on, you can kind of ad lib, so to speak, and kind of, you know, allow, you know, for really pull out the style out of a horse.
Oh, that's beautiful. Such an artist. While you're there, how do you avoid burnout for you? And how do you avoid burnout for the horse?
Yeah, that's a great question. So fortunately, having as many horses as I have, burnout on a horse, I can avoid by just giving the horse some time off. You know, when I start to feel like, you know, 2-3 days in a row, we're kind of hitting the same spot and I can just tell, you know, I like to work out and stuff. So I kind of know the feeling, you know, where you're kind of just like, man, I'm doing this, but I'm just not happy about it. And that's the part about being a good horseman. You can't read them. You have to try to guess because it can't talk to you. So that's when you back off, you know, and you turn, give them some turnout or just turn down the pressure. You know, turn down your expectation level until they kind of bounce back. And as far as me getting burned out, I mean, every day, the challenge of riding a different horse or the same horse and getting to figure it out really helps with that. You know, I do. I mean, I try to go to the gym. You know, I'm not going to go to a million vacations, but I try to, you know, take a little mini trip here and there. And because it is, for me, I'm more effective if mentally I'm in a good place than, you know, if you just chained me to the arena and said, okay, you're going to ride 7 days a week for 6 months. Yes, I can do it, but I'll get more done if you let me go to a concert or go to the beach. Those, you know, I might be there 30% less than somebody else, but my 70% when I'm in the right frame of mind is better than most.
Right.
I feel like he's talking about self-care.
Yeah.
In the best way.
Yeah. For riders who love the sport but feel stuck or intimidated by the reining world, what advice would you give them to keep progressing and enjoying the journey and themselves not getting burned out?
Well, it's like what we just been saying. Don't be afraid to get some help, you know, whether you're insecure or whether you are just have that huge ego. You can't be afraid to go ask somebody. And then always know there's a better horse out there than what you have, because very well could be that you're doing as good as you can do. But it's a team sport. You got a partner underneath you. And again, like I said earlier, you know, if that horse, I look pretty common. I look pretty average on an average horse. And so, you know, you got to keep that in mind and go, you know what, let me go out there. And again, that's where going out and riding with other people and getting different experiences, you might go out there and you jump on somebody else's horse and you go, oh my gosh, maybe I really am not that bad. Maybe I really am pretty good. I just need a horse that does it better.
Right.
Or does it different?
Yes. Yeah. I really dig your realism here. Thank you, Matt, so much.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite grooming hack or any barn secrets that you can provide? You have the most beautiful horses.
So beautiful.
With the most. And I have to tell you, I know you're not going to remember because there's so many, but I reached out to you probably about 8 months ago because every time I see your videos, those horses' tails are just so beautiful. And I reached out and I was like, please tell me you do something to that tail. And you were telling me that there is an extension that you guys put on horses' tails.
Well, yeah, that's a little cheat code. I I don't like to give away those type of secrets, but it's just like you women getting those extensions, you know, and the Botox and all that. What looks real maybe isn't real, but you really paid for it, so it really counts.
So it is yours,
yeah, right?
Because you paid for it. But
exactly. So no, yeah, I mean, for sure, I'm a sucker for a real pretty horse. I feel like it costs the same to take care of them, to train them.
Right.
So why not have a pretty horse? I think it can't. You know, I had my judge's card for years, and I know they say it's not supposed to matter, but it does. But you know, then it just comes down to that old fashioned same stuff I learned as a kid, you know, using the curry comb and brushing and, you know, giving them good feed. That's, I've got great sponsors like Smart Pack is one I've had forever. That's incredible. Good forage. Just, you know, really just being a good steward of your horse is number one. You know, I mean, keeping the lights on them, of course, and the blanketing and whatnot. But if you just have in your core that you're trying to take the best care of your horse, that should always trump any competition, taking great care. And then, and honestly, in return, that's going to give you your best performance anyway. So, there's really no shortcuts. You know, you gotta do the, you know, whether it's veterinary care and stuff, there's so much that goes into it. There's so many little things that add up that you just have to try to win those little battles every day. You're not going to win them all. You know, I mean, listen, I guarantee you there's people out there that groom them better than I do, but you know, there's across the board though, we're, you know, feel like we're pretty solid in taking great care of these horses.
Do you think the Smart Pack vitamins are a contributor to the length of some of your horses' manes or the horses that you ride, or is that genetics?
No, I mean, some of it's genetics for sure. Some of it's genetics, but no, I mean, the results for me over 20 years are undeniable with Smart Pack, with whether it be, you know, the stuff for their hooves, you know, so they're of course, and the stuff for their hooves is going to make their mane and tails grow, the joint supplements. And it's kind of one of those things now, I've been using it long enough that you don't really notice the difference till you get a horse comes in that's not on it.
Right. Yeah.
And then you really notice. But, yeah, I mean, Smart Pack's kind of like the X factor for me. They, I mean, that if you've dealt with them at all, the customer service is just over the top, and they know horses. Like, it's not like you're talking to somebody that's fresh out of college that doesn't, you know, yeah, I did a little barrel racing or something. You're talking to people that, you know, they've done the scientific research, they've got studies, and I actually, I find myself learning things from them.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You know, it's so funny. It's such the horse world is such a small world. I actually went to college with the woman who developed the Smart Equine. It was originally Smart Packs, and then they turned to Smart Equine. It was her senior project, and she developed those.
Are you from the East Coast?
No, we went to Cal Poly.
I'll be damned.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I went to Cal Poly Pomona.
Okay. Yeah, I know exactly where that's at.
Yeah, the other side of town.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've got a big question, but she's got a small question.
I've got a little question, because as much as I was so excited when I saw you on Yellowstone, I almost felt like, I know him.
Yeah.
And I was screaming at my husband, and I just loved watching you on there. So I'm sure you get a gajillion questions about it, which I'm not going to ask. What I'm going to ask is, will you be on any of his future shows?
You never know with Taylor. You never know. I didn't expect to be on that one. And then all of a sudden he said it one night, you know, we're drinking some wine, and he says, hey, I'm going to put you on the show. And I'm like, yeah, right. And the next thing you know, I'm doing it. I don't have anything on the horizon, but you never know with Taylor and what he's going to do. And he loves show horses, reining horses. You know, he loves the whole lifestyle so much that you can pretty much bet that he'll have some future projects with horses in it.
Yeah.
But I don't have anything, nothing.
Okay. But he's the kind of guy that would just call you and say, hey, show up tomorrow, sort of thing.
He'd give you a little bit more notice than that, but pretty close.
I kind of got that feeling. Okay. Yeah. Well, I just have to say, I know you didn't. Do you have your SAG card now? Because I think you spoke, didn't you?
I do. I got my card. I'm getting those residuals. I got my backup plan set. I can be a starving actor. I could probably fit in well and have to get a second and third job, and I'm ready.
But you have the horses to fall back on, so that's a good thing.
I'm gonna lean on that.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, I'll let Kara ask you her deep question.
Yeah, deep question before we have a little fun. So my deep question is sort of has to do with two arenas or two worlds, that I'm only going to ask you about one of them. I feel like as an artist, obviously you're an artist, and as just like, I feel like you're a man of integrity. I feel like we tend to want to leave a legacy behind when we're gone. But that's what good people do, right? Is we look to the future and we want to leave a legacy. And this isn't sort of a personal question about your family, but I'm asking you more about the horse industry. Is there a legacy that you would like to leave behind in the horse industry? Is there something that you envision as your legacy being left behind when you're no longer here?
You know, it's not really, yeah, you know, I feel like I'm, I'm getting close to that age where I'll start thinking about that stuff, but I'm not quite. I have the gray hair to match that, but I'm not quite there yet.
You're not even 50 yet. Silver fox, man. You're silver fox.
No.
Don't worry about it.
But, I mean, to, you know, being serious about it, I mean, I think just encouraging and hopefully inspiring others to try to help, try to pass whatever it is you know on to other people, and that it doesn't always have to be something that is monetized, which I get that all the time with social. You know, I've been in social media now for like 11 years, and yes, I do make money off of that by different ways. If you watch, you know, we try to give away way more than what we charge for, and that to me, it's, you know, that's, if you've been around me at all, I do a lot of things not because I'm looking to make a dollar. It's because I know what the impact. I just remember as a kid what horses had done for me, and they still do. Such a form of therapy for different reasons. You know, it could be you could have a bad childhood, good childhood, whatever. But what you get out of it is just it's so indescribable unless you had a chance to experience it. So for me, I enjoy exposing people that would not have the ability to have that experience. I like to do that. And then whatever, you know, I plant that seed, and wherever it leads is wherever it leads. But that's kind of where, and then also that, you know, a lot of times we get caught up with worrying about making mistakes. And I'd love for mine to be, you know, you're going to make mistakes. I've made a lot of them. I've made big ones, small ones. And the great thing in life, tomorrow is a new day. You get to start fresh. And with horses, you know, more so than anything, people, you know, of course, they're going to, hey, I remember what you did or this mistake you made. Yeah. Well, our horses don't do that. You know, our horses now, granted, they might come out and they might act a certain way because you did some things you shouldn't have for a little while. But the minute the tide starts to turn and they can sense, you know, where you're at and what you're doing, you, I wouldn't say they're like mirrors, but you can immediately see the change. So I could, like, for instance, yesterday, maybe I pushed this horse a little too hard. Maybe I did a little too much. And I think about it overnight and I come back the next day and that horse will show you by its actions, hey, I mean, it was a little jumpy, a little jittery. I immediately back off and change. And in, you know, just short amount of time, that horse responds. And if you are, you know, paying attention to that stuff, you'll start to notice, like, you go, oh, wait a minute. I need to chill out, which is probably why, I mean, most people probably say I'm way better. I have way more patience and I'm way better with horses than with people. And that's from that. 'Cause you start to see how they respond and you go, oh man.
Yeah.
I'm kind of on edge, which is why I probably have the most diverse playlist on my Spotify as anybody on the planet. 'Cause I got to have everything to match whatever mood I'm in or counter whatever mood I'm in.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, that's real too.
That's real. Are there any other organizations you would like to give a shout out to before we play a little game and sort of wrap up our conversation? You were talking about like the, I know you said Smart Equine, but then when you were speaking, I was thinking about, it sounded like you've heard of, I think it's Compton Cowboys. I used to give money to them every year.
Oh yeah, Randy Savvy. I've been out there. The Compton Cowboys, yeah, they got a great program out there, you know, getting kids there in the inner city, very close from where I grew up. And that's a great program out there. And there needs to be, you know, there needs to be more like that, no, and more light shed on that. And those guys get a lot of attention. But yeah, those guys are phenomenal.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Yeah. All right, are you ready for a little game we're going to play, This or That? Have you ever played?
I have. Let's do it.
This is one of my favorite games to play with people.
She's a teacher, by the way.
Yeah.
Things that
Yeah. I'm a middle school teacher. God bless me.
Yes. No kidding. You have patience.
Oh, yeah. It's a good thing and a bad thing to have that much of it. Okay. So here we go. This or That with Matt Mills. Barn cat or barn dog?
Barn dog.
Ooh. Okay. Sandy beach or mountain retreat?
Ooh, I like both of them, but I'm going to say, you're asking me on a day that it's freezing here, Sandy Beach.
So you would stand in the middle.
Yeah.
Trail riding or competition?
Competition.
Hands down.
Makes sense. Of course.
Yeah.
Mare or gelding?
Ooh. Mare.
Aww.
Do you think mares are better suited for reining? Do you notice any difference between the two?
I think it depends on the rider.
Okay.
You know, mares, a really good mare, they will do things. They'll try harder for you than even a stallion will.
Absolutely.
They just, now it doesn't mean it's going to be clear, you know, smooth sailing every day by any means. And I'm not going to even touch any parallels there at all. When you get the right one, they will give you everything they have. And my experience has been that, and the results don't lie. I take a fantastic mare every day of the week.
I like this guy. All right, Matt, pointy boots or square toe?
Where are we going? Square. I've got the in-between. I've got the hybrid. I got the in-between.
Oh, yeah. Those ones are cool.
Oh, the ones that are just
kind of
like.
Yeah, my husband wears those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got some De Niro. I got some, and by the shout out to it, my sponsors, De Niro boots, the best. They're made in Italy. They make the.
And they're so good looking. They really are.
Exactly, right? Oh, you got to look good like Deion Sanders. Look good. Mm-hmm. Feel good.
Now I know what I'm buying Sandy for Christmas. Wrangler or Kimes?
Oh, Kimes. I started out in Wranglers, but Kimes.
She told me that nobody wears Levi's anymore. No.
You know what? Actually, Taylor Sheridan pulled some Levi's.
Maybe he's older.
Mm-hmm.
He is older than me.
He's the generation before me.
Yeah, but I bet you he's not older than me.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Matt, Tams or Sheps?
Huh?
I thought you might get it. Tams is that restaurant in Long Beach, and they got really good food, and it's like a mix of a Mexican and American food, and it's super greasy and yummy. And then Sheps, I looked up your hometown where you are now, and I was like, it looked similar.
Oh, I know Sheps. Yeah, I haven't been to Tams. It's been a minute. It's been since 97 since I lived there.
Okay. When was the last time you visited your mom? 97?
No, it hasn't been that long.
Well,
no.
Next time you go, go to Tams.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out. I mean, Sheps is legit. Sheps got the best onion rings.
Then you need to go to Tams.
Then I definitely need to do that. I'm due to come to Long Beach, so okay. I will check that out.
All right. Eminem or Dr. Dre?
Oh, Dr. Dre. I mean, I like them. I love them both, but.
Yeah. No contest. No contest there. I agree.
No. Snoop would have been the better choice. He's the Long Beach guy.
She said. When we were putting this together, and I said, oh, Snoop Dogg. She's like, oh, no, not Snoop Dogg. I'm like, Dr. Dre.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
George Strait or Blake Shelton?
George Strait.
Yeah,
I knew it. I used to be a George Strait kind of guy.
No disrespect to Blake, but George is. Yeah, he's on the Mount Rushmore.
I love that. And our final one, we will see. I feel like this is the litmus test. Android or Apple?
Apple.
Yes, I won.
Steve Jobs guy.
Yeah, well, we're recording on an Android. So.
I hope everything works then.
Oh, stop it. Yeah. If not, I'll be texting you again. I guess we don't get we don't get another chance with you, huh?
Then we'll have to do it on an Apple device.
Oh my gosh, Matt. Thank you so much. This is really fun.
You bet.
Get the combo.
Yeah, it's been really nice. And do you have any plans to qualify for Run for the Million again in the future?
Oh, every year I'm getting ready. That's what I'm gearing up for right now. March 21st, right here in Weatherford, actually at Bosque Ranch at Taylor Sheridan's place. It normally was in Arizona, this qualifier, but it's going to be right here in my hometown, about 10 minutes away from the ranch. So I'm gearing up for that and shooting for Vegas. Need to go win that thing.
Will send all the positive vibes out your way. And if you make it to Vegas, we'll even take a day trip and go.
Yeah, we'll take a girl trip. We'll be there.
Yeah.
Screaming for you.
All right. I'm going to hold you to it.
Well, thank you again, Matt. We really appreciate your time.
Yep. You take care of yourself and your family.
Thank you. Good luck.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hey, friends. That's the end of today's ride. We hope you enjoyed listening. Don't forget to follow Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave us a review, share us with a friend, and saddle up with us next time as we ride through more stories, questions, and our wild tangents. Till then, friends, keep your boots dusty and your hard hats on. We hope to see you out on the trail.
Dandy and Kara, stirrups swinging free, talking about life and love and mystery. From coyotes to coffee, they'll cover it all with the sagebrush blowing and the wild bird's call. So cinch up your boots, we're hitting the track. Saddle Talk's on and we're not looking back.